The Haines School Board will choose a new member tonight, and organizers hope strong local participation continues for the upcoming Alcan 200. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haines School Board is set to swear in a new member at tonight's meeting. Board member Mike Wilson attended his last meeting in December. Wilson is moving, leaving his seat vacant. There are two candidates for the open position. Arthur Woodard is a military veteran with a background in biology and chemistry. He's a former business owner who says his later career was spent in cross-cultural education on reservations in the lower 48 and in Native communities in Alaska. Jeannie Kitayama is a longtime local resident who is retired from teaching in the Haynesboro School District. Kitayama had some recent Haines classroom experience when she served as a long-term substitute for the kindergarten classroom 2 years in a row. Both candidates will be interviewed by the school board at tonight's meeting, which starts at 6:30. The board may go into executive session to discuss the candidates before voting on a new member. Snow machiners will fire up their engines next weekend for the 48th Alcan 200 road race on the Haines Highway. Last year, 24 riders turned out for the event, and half were locals. Organizers say that was the highest local participation in about a decade, and they hope that trend continues this year.
The local guys have all been working on the sleds and getting them ready.
Kathy Lapp is the president of the Chilcat Snowburners Club, which organizes the 150-mile snow machine race. It starts just past the Canadian border. Riders speed up to Desdiash Lake and then turn back around to the Chilcat Valley.
It's just an exciting time of year. It's kind of quiet around here this time of year, so it's kind of fun to have something going on.
Last year's race was notable because of all the local faces at the starting line. They included Sean McLaughlin.
It's a rush. It's a total speed from one end to the other.
Lapp says after years of dwindling local participation, last year's turnout was exciting.
It's wonderful because before that, it was just like everybody out of town. So we were doing it for, it's a good thing because we want to keep it going, but it's just nice to have the local support back in the race. And there's quite a few younger guys that are, really getting interested in it.
Haines riders took the top two prizes last year. Chris Brooks was first overall and Jack Smith Jr. was second. Lapp says champion Brooks won't be able to compete this year because he's going to school out of town. But she says it looks like there will still be about a dozen locals competing in the 48th race. Organizers don't know numbers for sure until the Friday before, because most people register at the Fogcutter Bar Calcutta auction. Lapp says one reason more Haines snow machine enthusiasts are stepping up to the plate is because they've realized smaller machines can hold their own.
They've done real well with like 600, between the 600 and 700 classes. It's real popular and they do real well. So that's brought a lot more people in.
The Uglies of Haines tried to motivate more local participation last year by contributing $200 to each Haines resident's $325 entry fee. Here's Uglies president Gary Jacobson last January explaining why the club wanted to chip in.
We're trying to keep the race going. And, when there's only one local in the race, it's embarrassing is not the right word, but we wanted more participation with locals. It's our race. Let's get some locals in it.
Lapp says the Uglies are continuing with the incentives this year, although they dropped their contributions from $200 to $100 per person. Both locals and out-of-towners will benefit from a new culinary feature of the race. A Whitehorse-based barbecue catering company plans to sell sandwiches at the turnaround point at Desdiash Lake. Lapp says aside from the new food offering, The details of the race are the same. Lineup starts Saturday, January 21st, right across the Canadian border at 9 a.m. The race begins at 10 a.m., and an awards banquet follows later that night at 7. A Sitka-based hatchery organization has been granted approval for a new remote release site for chum salmon in Thomas Bay on the mainland near Petersburg. The hatchery chums, traditionally released closer to Sitka, could be an early season opportunity for commercial seiners and gill netters. But the location has been a concern for commercial trollers and sport fishermen. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki reports.
The Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA, applied for a change to its hatchery permit that the organization has with the state. NSARA has been seeking a different release site for some of the young salmon produced at the Hidden Falls Hatchery on eastern Baranoff Island. Steve Reifenstuhl is NSARA general manager.
It gives us another release site where we can put Hidden Falls stock and hope that we get a much better marine survival than we've been seeing at Hidden Falls the last 3 or 4 years.
Hidden Falls chum returns numbered in the millions in the 1990s and early 2000s. Those chum return in the early summer and can give the commercial purse seine fleet a lucrative catch before the pink salmon show up. In the last few years, returns have only totaled a couple hundred thousand and fishing opportunity has been scarce. Reifenstuhl and others suspect whales and fish have keyed in on the annual release of young chums in Chatham Strait and have been eating them up. He's hoping that won't be the case with the new site in Thomas Bay.
Now, the predators may find the release site at Thomas Bay at some point, but I think it takes some years, just like Hidden Falls had tremendous survival through, you know, the mid-1990s and then, you know, kind of ups and downs in the early 2000s, and now just doing dismal.
NSARA applied to move up to 40 million Hidden Falls chum to the new release site. Reifenstuhl says the first few years that number will be closer to 25 million. The young fry will be held in net pens at a site near Ruth Island inside Thomas Bay for several months until they're released. The proposal was tabled a year ago, awaiting more baseline sampling of what other fish could be impacted by a new hatchery release and the anticipated commercial fishing it would generate in the bay. A Fish and Game regional planning team voted to recommend the new remote release at a meeting at the end of November. Flip Pryor is regional resource development biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
We did get some, you know, people from both sides of the issue spoke on that. The vast majority of it was in support. Whether that, it's not really a democratic process where whoever gets the most votes is going to win necessarily. Everything's taken into consideration. But there was a lot of support in this case.
The Petersburg Borough Assembly, Chamber of Commerce, and multiple commercial fishing groups supported the proposal. The Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance estimates the value of the returning chums could be around $3.5 million at the docks. Southeast Alaska Seiners and United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters also wrote letters in support. A number of local commercial trollers and sport fishermen signed a petition opposing the proposal. That petition faulted the test fishing as too limited, and it highlighted the potential impacts of returning chums on the troll fishery outside of Thomas Bay. Retired ADF&G crab biologist Tim Kieneman also wrote a letter in opposition. He voiced concerns over the potential impact that 40 million chum fry could have on other marine species in the bay. Commercial fishing would be in late June into early July, with seiners setting nets inside the bay and gillnetters and trollers intercepting those chums on their way back in. Reifenstuhl acknowledges that some will continue to oppose the new remote release, and he likens it to NSARA's chum release at Deep Inlet near Sitka.
There are people that wish we didn't have a deep inlet fishery. There are people that wish there wasn't a hatchery at Hidden Falls. I can just say we will operate with, you know, responsibility and try to address people's concerns and try to alleviate conflicts if they do occur.
And Syrah has already started advertising for contract workers to help rear the chum fry in Thomas Bay starting in mid-February and running into June. With fry going into the water there this year, the first adult chums would be returning in 2019 and 2020. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For Cage Nest News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at cagenest.org.